The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Appreciate you listening. 12 minutes after 7, and wanted to talk about, now we know that CNN is going to be airing the presidential debate, presidential candidates debate on Thursday. We're going to be carrying that, by the way. Hope you'll listen to that between 6 and 7:30 or so. We'll be running that. Also have some analysis before it. But there is an interesting wrinkle going on with CNN that is kind of bubbling on the back burner, hasn't got a lot of play. And I wanted to talk with Nick Fondacaro, who is the associate editor for Media Research Center's Newsbusters, to talk about this. Nick, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Nick, why don't you tell me more about this, tell everybody, really, about this defamation lawsuit, which is coming up against a CNN, which could actually be more money than what Fox had to pay out over the Dominion case, that settlement there. This is it's kind of a juicy story. What's happening?
Yeah, so this case has been going on for about 2 years, and like you said, it's sort of been percolating in the background. Basically, it's come to the forefront now because a couple weeks ago, a appeals court said that Mr. Young, Zachary Young, who was the security contractor who CNN allegedly defamed, was able to seek punitive damages. So basically, what happened was in the aftermath of the Afghanistan collapsing, he was working with corporate clients to help get their people out of the country. His clients included Audible, Bloomberg News, and basically, he was charging prices, and CNN didn't like that. They thought he should be apparently doing it for free. They claimed he was running a black market.
Oh.
They claimed he was extorting people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's in other words, he was charging a lot of money to get people out of a very hot, very dangerous zone, right? That's essentially what was going on, right?
Exactly. And basically, the money he was charging was going towards helping get them out, like chartering flights, chartering cars, you know, greasing the wheels, as it were, to help get people out of a very bad situation.
I would imagine that also means paying bribes to officials,
possibly,
right?
Possibly, yeah.
Look the other way?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. But of course, you know, the Biden administration said that was the best withdrawal of troops ever. You know, that really was, that whole situation. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I didn't realize there was even a lawsuit about this. So this, so Zachary Zung is suing Young, rather, is suing CNN. So upward of $1 billion, they think that this could actually become now a $1 billion lawsuit. Wow.
Yeah, because basically what happened was through discovery, they discovered all of these internal CNN emails where they're using very vicious language towards him. We're going to nail this Zachary Young MF. He's a S word, and it's his funeral, bucko. All of like this really bad stuff. And the judges ruled in the appeals that these messages show that CNN had actual malice, express malice, and that their actions were outrageous enough to reasonable onlookers. That now lost economic damages because people don't want to work with him anymore, because being a security contractor, you need anonymity. His face is all over the place. He's now labeled as like human trafficker, war profiteer.
Oh, so he's been genuinely damaged then. Genuinely damaged.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about this. It's not like his feelings got hurt. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So basically there's the economic damages, the emotional damages, plus the now, because they were able to prove all of that malice and outrageousness, it has removed the cap off of punitive damages now in Florida, where the case is being tried and it's going to trial in January. So basically, because of all this stuff, it's the first two, the economic and emotional damage, are about $600 million by themselves. And then with the punitive damages, if a jury were to award all of that money, it could go upwards of $1 billion, maybe even more, but it's definitely going to at least rival the Dominion law settlement with Fox. But I talked with Vel Freeman, Mr. Young's lawyer, and they said they are not looking to settle. There is no active settlement discussion going on, and it's kind of off the table, and there's zero chance it's going to be stopped before trial.
That's really interesting because because Fox ended up coming to a settlement with Dominion, right? It could have been worse had it gone before a jury. Possibly, right? So, So Young is saying, only a jury. Boy, this Could this actually take the network down? Is it something like that? I don't know where money like this comes from. Does it come out of insurance only, or a combination of insurance or operating? How do big companies like this pay that kind of a bill if it does come to pass? You know,
I personally don't know how CNN would be able to pay for it. I'm assuming there is some sort of insurance liability for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They also just got bought out by Discovery, a larger company. So maybe their parent company might need to swoop in and give them an infusion of cash to help cover this. So I don't know if they're going to be able to, like, that's the thing. The upper end of the number is a billion. It could be less, but certainly a billion, it could possibly be a final number.
Now, Nicholas, you're a journalist, correct? We know that. You mm-hmm. understand how this game is played here. When you have something that, now, I'm not saying that you would ever talk about someone you were reporting on in the way that the CNN people were describing Zachary Young, but you put it in writing, in an email, and you send it all around? What's going on? I mean, those are the kind of things you talk about in the hallway, even if you were going to, you know, try to take somebody down, you know, intentionally. You don't put it in writing, do you? I can't believe that anybody would do this.
So basically, in court, CNN's lawyer basically argued that what they said in their emails doesn't actually prove malice. It proves that they actually thought that they were going after somebody that they thought was legitimately harming people, even though that they found other people who were actually running scams, and they didn't have any evidence that the people that Mr. Young was helping that didn't get out. So basically, all the evidence shows is that he tried to help people and actually got people out. He ended up rescuing, helping get about 20, I believe it's 24 people, mostly women and children, out of Afghanistan.
But he charged But he charged a lot of money, and that was the sin in CNN's eye, right?
And basically, because what he was doing, he was working for corporations. So the corporations were the ones that were largely footing that bill, was them paying the money to get their people out. So basically, in this scenario, he was, let's say, if somebody wanted to charter a flight from where they live to a vacation destination, he was offering private flights to people that could afford it. But there are nonprofits that were helping get people out, Save Our Allies, AA21. Uh-huh. So there were places that were taking donations. So those nonprofits were taking donations. So they needed money too to get people out to fund their efforts. So there were nonprofit available options to get out, but he was the one that corporations were going to get their people out. And there were a whole bunch of people doing this, even other private ones as well.
But to be clear, did CNN figure out, from what you could tell in this reporting here, did they know that they were actually barking up the wrong tree after a little while, or did they just keep chewing on his leg and smearing the guy, you know, forever until after the fact? I'm just curious. How did that play out? I kind of forget that now. I forgot about this story.
So basically, they really only talked about him. They said other things were going on, but they're the only ones whose face they showed, the only one they mentioned by name with all of this. And in the midst of this, Alex Marquardt was the one who did the story on the lead with Jake Tapper. And after the lawsuit was in full swing, he got promoted.
Really?
Yeah. Alex Marquardt got promoted in the midst of all of this.
Wow. All right. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of good or clear thinking going on there. Wouldn't it be interesting, and I'm not advocating this necessarily, but wouldn't it be interesting to see CNN go through a InfoWars type of bankruptcy and sell-off on something like that if they had to pay this? Could you envision that? Wouldn't that be interesting?
Here's the thing, like, CNN's a pretty big multi international news agency. I'm not too sure that part's in the cards, because they're also owned by a much larger company who would probably bail them out.
Okay, so there's deeper pockets than Alex.
Yeah, there's people with deeper pockets, yeah.
All right. Still quite interesting. This does kind of show, though, a journalistic arrogance that tends to go on in these higher echelons. Would you agree with that? Pretty much a take on that?
Not only do I agree with that, in the appeals ruling, the judges concurred that what CNN was doing paraphrased CNN's defense of what they were doing as journalistic braggadociousness, I believe what it was, or journalistic bravado was the term that was used. And basically, including their editors, so they have an editorial board, a triad, which is standards and practices, editorial, and legal. They looked at the story, and some of them were like, this is full of holes, like Swiss cheese is like a direct quote from the messages. And like, this isn't ready to go on TV. And they only gave Mr. Young like a couple hours to respond to letting him know that they were going to publish a story about him. And even internally, they're like, oh, that's not good. Like that we only gave him 2 hours. Like that's not right. And mm-hmm. they still went with it anyway, even though there were internal editors that were questioning what the validity of the story.
So there were flags, what you were telling me, there were plenty of red flags there that smarter mm-hmm. people would have paid attention to or cooler heads. But the idea was we wanted to get this guy. That's essentially what was going on, right? They wanted to get the guy and they were wrong. Oh boy.
That's what it's seeming to be like.
And he was not a public figure, so to speak, right? He was a guy who operated in the shadows.
Yeah, so basically, it's this one individual that this international news agency decided to name specifically as like the face of this, what they said is a problem of like black markets and exploitation. And it's basically this large corporation just singling out this one person and putting a face to all of this bad stuff.
Yeah, personalizing it, putting it all on his face. Boy, this could be a very interesting trial to cover indeed. Out of curiosity, have you talked to your colleagues and maybe other news agencies? Is this kind of a lawsuit, is this making people be more careful, or has it not had its effect yet on the media?
I have a feeling that one of the reasons it might not be getting covered that much is because of a fear from others that what if something similar were to happen to us? Mm-hmm. But I do see that basically after my report yesterday, the dam seems to have broken.
Oh.
And there are more, like Fox has got a report on this now, the Daily Caller, Just the News. People are picking this up more and more. OAN, I believe, has a little bit of something on it. Like everybody is now sort of, I think a lot of it too is they just didn't realize that this was going on. Part of it as well, because it was so under the radar for such the longest time. And CNN, I reached out to CNN for comment over the course of 3 days, multiple requests for comment. They did not respond to me at all.
Oh, yeah. So, well, like, any lawyer is going to tell them to clam up, right? They're going to tell you just to clam up about this.
Yeah.
But it is a really interesting story, and I'm glad you brought this to everyone's attention. And you're the one really breaking this and busting it out there, and it appears to be erupting now. And title, by the way, on newsbusters.org, CNN could be forced to pay upwards of $1 billion from defamation suit from the Jake Tapper Show. So good stuff there. Thanks for sharing some of this, and we'll have you back. Thank you very much, Nick. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me on, and I actually have some more coming out about the story later today.
Oh, really? All right. We'll be there. Newsbusters.org, Nicholas Fondacaro. Thanks so much. Be well.
You too.
725. KMED 99.3 KPXG, you're on the Bill Myers Show.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that 1 out of 2 adults do not regularly see their dentist due to fear or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson from Dental Excellence, and I'm here to change that. How? Sedation dentistry. This procedure is safe, comfortable, fast-acting, and effective, and I've been doing it for years. Here at Dental Excellence, we can eliminate your fears and anxieties with little to no memory of the procedure and often complete years of dental treatment in just one visit. There are several levels of sedation to choose from, and my caring team will help pick the right one for you. We understand if you have put off the health of your smile, and we want to help you regain your confidence. Come and see. Dental Excellence is Southern Oregon's Center for Sedation, Implant, and Family Dentistry. Call us today at 541-779-6170. Taking care of your smile is not something you have to delay any longer.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
727. Thank you for waking up this morning. It's Pebble in the Shoe Tuesday. You know, Tom, I have a feeling that you heard Congressman Cliff Bentz talk and might be even a pebble in your shoe this Tuesday. What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, he seemed to paint that Russia is this out of sorts invader of Ukraine and so forth. But there's a lot more going on there from what I understand. I can always, I get some of my information from the mainstream news.
We get some of it from elsewhere, too. I'll give you a little sidebar here. I have tired of every time the excuse, and this is very common out of the swamp, it's a bipartisan deal, too. This is not just a Republican thing. You hear from both sides of the so-called uniparty that, every time there's something going on there, it's Hitler 1939, every time. And it's like,
yes.
All right.
They did it with Saddam. They painted him as the Hitler and Gaddafi and so forth and so on. So now Putin is the new Hitler.
And that's what, not even to say that the Democrats were calling Trump the new Hitler, but I digress. You know everyone's Hitler. It just gets tired at this point. So anyway, where do you see the holes in that argument? Go ahead.
Well, it's my understanding that the Ukraine war actually started in 2014 when the United States spent $1 billion deposing the elected leader of Ukraine. And they've
to essentially have a puppet more to our liking, more to the empire's liking, right?
Yeah, and also there was an agreement that NATO was not to expand into Ukraine. You know, kind of a buffer. It's a function as a buffer, and everything was fine and cool and so forth. And then recently they're doing everything they can to have Ukraine join NATO and put missiles right on the border of Russia. It'd be kind of like the equivalent of Russia arming up Cuba and just having a whole plethora of missiles.
Or even more appropriately, Russia arming up Mexico on the border, right?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. So I think Congressman Benz, I don't know if he's just not aware of all the undermining of this and so forth, but I am so disgusted with no matter whether you elect or vote for somebody with a D or R after their name, that it's always war, war, and more war. And we need to, cannot play policeman for the whole world and just keeping this military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about, keeping it going. I think this is absolutely a government that's out of control and we're being milked to enrich the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, I can't help but feel we're being led down the primrose path again.
And again.
All I will say is that, we can't stop fentanyl dealers on the border here, but I'm supposed to be concerned with Putin in Ukraine. I'm supposed to, be. And by the way, not saying Putin good. I'm not a fan of Vladimir Putin. But Ukraine has always been in the sphere of influence of Russia. It always has been. All right. And to ignore that and to also ignore the agreements that were made before and then to arm up, a hostile Ukraine seems to be about a tripwire of getting us involved in a bigger hot war. As if for some reason this is just an easy thing to do. And it just seems incredibly irresponsible of us to be in that direction. That's all.
I agree. That's my point. Exactly. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Appreciate the call. It's 7:31. Yeah, I know, but you're going to get this. This is the, the bipartisan. Well, the empire needs a good splendid little war to distract people. the people. Just saying. Yeah, I know that sounds very cynical of me. I know. And I know that there are people up there. Every time I drive up Jackson, and I'm going up Jackson over by the country club, I'm going passing by all of these signs that say, support Ukraine, support Ukraine. You know, I'd like to support the United States of America for a change, truly. You know, and that means stopping the criminals at the border, stopping the homeless from being able to just sit around and mainline fentanyl. And along with the help from the Chinese and everything else. And I look back at what happened with Russia. And yeah, this is me. I guess it's another a boulder in my shoe, as it were. It seems that we intentionally made sure that there was going to be no rapprochement with Russia, even as we went Russia, 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 as former President Trump, back when he was President Trump, wanted to kind of open a dialogue there and get along, because getting along, that's bad. Getting along, there's no profit in, you know, getting along doesn't get politicians elected with a lot of lobby money. And I know that's another cynical, cynical pebble in my shoe. I'm going to stop it. We'll talk with her. I'm going to do a bunch more things here, too. This is the Bill Myers Show on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.
Boise Cascade is hosting a hiring event this Thursday from noon to 4 p.m. in White City. Various full and part-time positions are open, from entry level up to electricians and millwrights. You'll have an interview with a friendly manager, and many will get a tentative job offer before you leave. Wages start at $21.50 an hour for entry level, plus plentiful opportunity for advancement and pay increases. The event is Thursday, noon to 4 at 1155 Antelope Road in White City. Build your future at Boise Cascade. Boise Cascade is an equal opportunity employer.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the Rogue Valley's spray-on bedliner leader for 20 years running. We're excited to upgrade our spray-on bedliner product to MilSpec and join the fast-growing nationwide network of dealers. Our new MilSpec bedliners are backed by a nationwide lifetime warranty and feature the latest innovations in spray-on bedliner technology. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority and let our seasoned team of professionals give your truck the protection it needs with a MilSpec spray-on bedliner.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Upper Applegate fire burning southwest of Medford has now grown to 756 acres. It's 46% contained. Crews have now plumbed approximately 80% of the fire, including direct and indirect lines. More than 430 people are assigned to the fire that's threatening 25 single residences and 30 multiple residences. While unionized workers at the Medford Providence Hospital are back at work, they're still no closer to an agreement with Providence. They're calling in a federal mediator. Mediation is expected to happen after July 10th. Three Oregon advocacy groups are launching a ballot measure campaign to enshrine the right to abortion, transgender health care, and same-gender marriage in the Oregon Constitution. Basic Rights Oregon, the American Civil Liberties Union, and Planned Parenthood notified the State Elections Division Monday of their plan to start collecting signatures to get the proposed measure on the 2026 November ballot. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The International Criminal Court issuing arrest warrants for Russia's former defense minister and its military chief of staff for attacking civilian targets in Ukraine. More men may get caught in the draft in Israel. The country's Supreme Court says that Orthodox Jewish men must also be subject to the military draft in Israel. It's been a breakthrough in the case of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. He's been released from an English jail after reaching a plea deal with the U.S. government over his publication online of classified documents. Evacuations ordered in rural Northern California due to a fast-moving wildfire threatening the community of Palermo that's just outside Oroville. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow down 127 points, with the Nasdaq trading 139 points higher, and the S&P is up 13 points. This is SRN News.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
It's a great time to travel, and Phoenix Auto Center invites you to stop by before you hit the road. Jolene here, reminding you that taking care of your vehicle to keep you driving safely is what we do. We install top brand name tires for exceptional performance and handling, and we provide full service auto and RV repair too. You can count on us for tune-ups, brakes, shocks, alignments, cooling systems, systems, vehicle manufacturer maintenance, and more. Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, serving Rogue Valley drivers since 1970.
Rock This Town by Stray Cats was released in 1981 and peaked at number 9 on the singles chart. Millette Construction can relate to this song because we rock your town one building at a time by firming up and solidifying foundations, leveling floors, and fixing the water problems that cause instability. So don't let those cracks in walls make you scream and shout. Millette will rock your place inside out. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. By the way, Stray Cats may look and sound like they're from the UK, but they're actually from Long Island, New York.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops, vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth-type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9. The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op. It's Bill Meyer, and here's another listener who saved at Sky Park Insurance. Meet Jason from Medford.
I've been with the same company for 4 years and heard Steve's commercial. I gave him a call, and he saved me nearly $1,000 a year on my two cars. Thanks, Steve.
Sky Park is an independent agency with providers like Progressive, Safeco, Foremost, and many more. Call Steve for a quote, 261-5444, or visit skyparkins.com.
Hi, this is Steve from Sky Park Insurance. At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
738, and joining me right now, Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger. A lot going on in the county here. Between the fire map issue, between what we're dealing with in 4-H funding. I had a good conversation with Dwayne Junker about that last Friday. I don't know if you caught that or not, Herman. Welcome back. Good morning.
Good morning. I hope you spent your time off wisely.
It was not a relaxing time off, Herman. It just was not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
it's like that. I had to come back here to relax. You ever have a vacation like that? Where you go on vacation, you have to go back to work to relax? You ever have that?
Well, I've always said if I'm going to relax, I have to leave the area, maybe even the country.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you, especially someplace where the cell phone doesn't go. Or, I'm sorry, I'm over at the North Pole. You're going to have to figure out the problem yourself, right?
Before I left the Senate, my staff gave me one of those bags you put your cell phone in.
Yeah.
So it can't pick up nothing and nobody can follow you and it doesn't work. The GPS tracker won't work, nothing. And I think I'm going to go try to find that bag someplace.
Yeah, I think I might invest in those myself sometime. Now, Herman, let's touch on a couple of things here.
Sure.
What is the status of this whole county extension budget? And there's been all this drama involved with 4-H. And I was talking with State Representative Junker last week, and he exposed to me, and I ended up sharing it with folks here, person after person after person that's involved with the county extension from Oregon State University, it's all a bunch of woke Marxists. And when did we have to be having woke Marxists to learn how to farm or take care of animals or do 4-H activities? I don't know when this happened, but I don't think that's what parents are thinking when they would drop kids off at 4-H.
Well, okay, so let's start my job. My job as elected official is to make sure that taxpayer dollars are spent wisely and there's no fraud and there's no corruption. That is really the job of elected official. That is your job.
Okay.
All right, so you start with that. So now we're in charge of approving their budget. At the county level.
And what you talked about last week is that there were very few or scant details, just kind of here's a big money ask, and let's do that, right?
Right. So I submitted questions and asked for information, and they pretty much just discarded my asks. So then I went through Representative Junker and State Senator Robinson, and they submitted my questions to 4-H. Now, remember, that's a state agency, it's a state land-grant college, and they are my state representatives. I got, on Friday afternoon, a letter to those representatives saying it'll be $269 for a public records request. So now your own state representative cannot get information from a state agency unless they pay public records requests?
In order for the county to decide whether to approve funding for the OSU Extension Service in Josephine County, that kind of arrogance, I would vote no to funding them just for that, because that tells me they don't want to be transparent about what they're doing. And looking at who's running those programs, I can understand why.
Is this Governor Kotick's transparency policy?
I think so.
When I was in the legislature, we never had any problem getting information. Well, I shouldn't say never, but we eventually always got the information from the state agencies we wanted. This is just appalling. So what their tactic, here's their tactic. Their tactic is to load the auditorium in Grants Pass with mostly people from Master Gardeners program.
Which is politically, right. Innocuous, right? Politically
right.
Innocuous.
And they're saying, overwhelming public support. Well, first of all, I don't think they're being candid with the Master Gardeners. I think the Master Gardeners ought to be scratching their head. Hey, why does an Oregon Extension Service just show the commissioners how they're spending their money? That's all I'm asking, Bill. How are you spending taxpayer dollars? Okay, that's my job. Mm-hmm. They want me to approve $1 million budget for Josephine County, and they won't tell me how they're going to spend the money. That's not how I'm built.
Well, after the conversation with Representative Yunker last week, and it astounded me how politicized the OSU Extension Office appears to be. It appears to be essentially an operating arm of wokeism, and it's designed to inculcate kids. I have no other way of describing that. Am I characterizing it or mischaracterizing it, or does that not even matter when it comes to approving their budget or not?
There are some appearances of those activities. There's no question about it. And you know, what spurred all of this is when the measure was passed in the 90s, there was about 791 kids in the 4-H livestock program. That's pretty much evaporated. They went and started their own program, doing their own thing with no taxpayer dollars.
And why did they end up leaving 4-H in Josephine County again?
One of the clubs, 4-H is made up of different clubs, okay? And you have kids in each club. One of the clubs is called Joe's Place, which is Jesus over everything. And they said, no, can't do that. And then another club.
This was 4-H telling them they can't do that, right?
Yeah, they can't do that. And then there was another club that had a crucifix on their shirt. And, oh, no, we can't do that. And so, anyways. But I will tell you, Bill, I'm digging hard. I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm talking to Adam at Open the Books. I'm talking to him.
Oh, you get a hold of Adam Andrzejewski. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I want the entire Oregon Extension Service gone through with a fine-tooth comb, because I think I'm starting to see that.
Yeah, Herman, your phone cut out there. You want to try it again?
And how they?
Hey, Herman, start that again. You were getting to a great point, and we've lost you for the last 10, 15 seconds. What did you think? What do you think happened? Yeah, I can hear you now with Adam.
Okay.
So Adam Andrzejewski is going to investigate OSU Extension Service, right?
Not yet. I haven't got him convinced. I'm talking to those people. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So, but I would love to see Oregon State University Extension Service entire program, because I'm seeing some very concerning activities and some suspicious activities that I think needs to be investigated, because I don't think taxpayer dollars are being spent too wisely. There is a lot of money, because it's not just what the counties contribute. It's the state and federal funding that goes into that, too. And how are they spending it? I see a lot of travel, and I'm just like, how is this money being spent? There's a lot of money. So I am not going to stop looking.
Okay. All right. We don't know the whole story at this point, but the fact that the state extension or Oregon State Extension Service wants to force the county to pay up money to get financial records of budgeting, that's weird. That's just weird.
You know, if they say there's no problem, everything's good, well, then why don't you just give us just open the checkbook, let us look at the ledger. If there's nothing to hide, what's the big deal?
It is not the appearance of transparency coming out of the COTEC administration with this.
No, it is not. This is crazy.
And you look at everyone who seems to be involved in running the Oregon State University Extension Service, and it appears that they are highly politicized. And
highly paid. Highly paid.
Highly paid and highly politicized. And one would have to ask, why do you need a lot of politicized people to help kids and master gardeners in Josephine County either work animal husbandry, doing other 4-H projects, or master gardeners? Why do you have to be so politicized with it? Why can't it just be neutral?
What's interesting with the master gardeners, because they're really a great bunch of people. They're usually late age people, I would say, at least the ones that are showing up.
A lot of institutional memory on crops and growing, that's for sure.
But we should be in common. They should be supporting me, wanting to know how the money's being spent, instead of just getting up there and pounding their fist on the podium and saying, fund it.
All we care about is our master, nothing happens to master gardeners, so if you have to fund all the other garbage, well, that's just too bad. Do it. Right?
Yeah, and $1 million? They don't care about $1 million of taxpayer dollars being spent wisely. They're just going to pound on the podium and say, we don't care, just fund it.
All right.
That's really concerning, Bill.
Well, stay on that story, and we're always always happy to talk with you about that, Commissioner. Commissioner Herman Berchiger with me, Josephine County. So that's the latest on the 4-H thing. Now, what is the drop-dead date on budgeting for that?
It's going to be this week. Wednesday and Friday are the two decision days.
Okay. So you either decide to fund it or you don't, right? You either approve it or you don't.
Yep.
Can you partially approve it? You can just say, okay, we're just going to pay for Master Gardener, or can you not do that?
Yeah, we can do that, but I don't even know if the money goes to Master Gardeners, because we're being told that they pay for their program. So it's hard to get to the bottom of this, because you just get crickets out of Oregon State Extension Service.
Well, once again, wasn't it a wonderful idea when a past legislature voted to make the state university system a state agency?
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
All right. Let's shift gears here to fire. All right. Give me your impression on last week's fire meeting, the fire map meeting.
Joke. Four-letter word. Absolute joke.
Really?
Embarrassment. So here's what they did. I love this new tactic. First the Fed started it, now the state of Oregon. So you go, we're going to have a town hall meeting. Everybody shows up. Everybody's concerned. They know that. They get up and they talk for about 5 or 10 minutes, and they go, okay, now we're going to all split up, and we got stations. And you go to each station and ask your questions. And what that's all about is no longer having a town hall meeting. A town hall meeting means all the people are engaged in the conversation. And when questions are asked from one person, that spurs questions from other people.
It's a linear process, right? You know, everyone's there on the same information stage. You're not having separate conversations. We're having one conversation with individuals giving testimony, spurring more testimony, right?
And so you when you break up into those groups, you never know what's on people's minds, because you're all separated. It's the old strategy attorneys use, divide and conquer. And I would be, in fact, I'm working on a letter to the state forester, which I'm sure will wind up in the round recycling can. I'm just absolutely appalled and embarrassed. Now, from a political standpoint, Bill, I always go to the 30,000-foot view. So 30,000-foot view. One, the environmental community has been trying to depopulate rural Oregon since the 70s.
Yep.
Two, the Democrats in Salem have been trying to get general fund money out of large fire costs for years because they want to free up that money to go spend it on programs they want to spend it. So how that's why they're moving forward. So it meets two of their agenda items: depopulate Oregon by making it so expensive and so hard to develop rural Oregon, depopulate rural Oregon, I mean, mm-hmm. make it so expensive. How do we make it expensive? We create this fire map, and then the insurance companies look at it and say, oh well, we got to double the premium.
Well, don't the insurance companies, to be fair about this, have their own maps that already indicate that we're pretty tinder dry and fire-prone area?
Well, listen, this just gives them another excuse to raise their prices, okay?
Okay.
And the second thing is, oh, well, now if you want to build it, you got to do this. You got to harden your house. We're going to make it really expensive for you to develop your property.
Well, in other words, what the state is doing with this legislation then is to make us protect ourselves from their prescribed fire everywhere, right?
Right. Right. And then there's the cost. So right now, large fire costs are paid for, one, by the large landowners. Mm-hmm. That's the first. There's three funding sources. Second is an insurance policy with Lloyd's and London's, which is very expensive, what the state has to pick up. And then the third, if we go over that, is general fund money. And the Democrats want to get all the general fund money out of large fire costs. So the next shoe to drop, this stuff always migrates. This is how it's going to work. They're going to get this fire map. You're going to pay more. It's going to be. They're going to pass legislation on building codes and where you can build, and setbacks, and blah blah blah. That's going to make it more expensive. And then the third shoe to drop is they're going to assess everybody for large fire costs, and that money will go, and that will pay for large fire costs, and the general fund money will be freed up so they can go spend it on needles and tents and tarps for the homeless in Portland.
Yeah, that sounds about the way that our Democrat folks there would like this to go. They don't want to actually take general fund money. Out of curiosity, why is there so little talk about busting the federal land managers? You know, on
busting them?
What's that now?
What did you say?
Well, what I'm saying is it's almost as if we are supposed to either not be there or to build our property to withstand the fires that an ill-managed federal system plague Southwest Oregon on. Am I right or wrong about that assumption?
It's all of that. Let's go to...
You can't log it. You're not allowed to log it. And then we get a drought or the beetles, the trees dry or die rather. You can't do anything about that. The lightning strike happens. They draw the box around it. It's the predetermined outcome. We're going to burn the landscape. Well, you're going to be living within this burning landscape, so you're going to have to harden your property or else, that kind of thing, so that we can do everything, to burn Southwest Oregon.
There's a lot of validity to what you say, but, most people just don't realize that when you have forests, you have fires. It's always been like that. It was like that 3,000 years ago. And it's no different than if you live in Tornado Alley, you're going to have tornadoes. If you live in the hurricane zones, you're going to have hurricanes. So, now what has exasperated that a little bit, it's not the sole problem, is we've been putting out fires for 100 years. Ever since the fires of 1910, public policy switched and they went to a put it out by 10. Great, that's fine, and I agree with that. But in conjunction with that, we had a lot of forest activities, logging and stuff like that, because we're rebuilding Europe after World War II.
Yeah, there was a lot of mechanical removal of trees going on. Okay.
So then but when you do out by 10, the old policy, fire out by 10, what that means is when a fire is started, you have it out by 10 the next morning. Okay, that was the policy. If that's perfectly fine, but you have to have the other side, which is forest management then, because Mother Nature's forest management is to burn it. That's just burn it.
Yeah, and to violently burn it. And if you happen to be living near those lands, you're going to be taken out from it. That kind of thing.
Right. And so, like, clear cuts. People, oh, clear cuts. Well, clear cuts is just mocking a burn, a severe burn. That's what a clear cut is. You remove all the trees. And in the old days, we removed all the trees, we clear-cutted it, and then we burnt the whole thing, and then we planted it. So we basically did what Mother Nature does, only we accelerated the process, okay? We accelerated a lot by doing that.
And plus, you would control it, too. You would control it so it wasn't a violent
right.
act.
So the reason we're probably having more large fires and everything is because of the we've let the fuel loadings get so heavy. Mother Nature continually wants to manage it. Mother Nature, oh, fuel loadings, we got to get rid of this. Mm-hmm. Bring in the bugs, bring in the fire. That's how Mother Nature's managing it, because we no longer manage it. And that's the way people need to look at it. If we won't manage it, Mother Nature will. And she kind of casts a wide swath when she wants to manage it, let me tell you.
All right. So is there any way to resist or cut this legislation, you know, the Jeff Golden depopulation bill, I guess is what we could call it, Senate Bill 762, right?
It's going to take, you know what, your representatives will only be able to do it if the public comes out hard on this. And I mean hard. This is the biggest dog and pony show I have ever seen. I just rolled my eyes. Oh, here we go. Shove it down the landowner's throat and pat them on the back as they walk out the door. Mm-hmm. I could not believe it. I just simply couldn't believe it, Bill.
Yep. Those same fraudulent consensus process deals, just like the jet boat meetings with Oregon Kitchen Table. Same crap, different agency. Same crap.
Right.
Yeah.
And so all those people who are listening to in the WUI, wildland fire environment, it's coming. And if you don't want to believe me, that's fine, but it's coming. It's going to be harder for you and more expensive for you to live there. And they're going to send you a bill at some point in time. They've already kind of started that with that $47 assessment from ODF. That is going to increase. So, they don't do things overnight. It's always a migration to the top, and that's what's going on right now. But within 10 years, you better have a pretty thick wallet if you're going to live in a wildfire environment. The Democrats look at all those. They go, oh, my God, look how many hundreds of thousands of properties. Oh, if we all tax them a little bit, look how much money that'll bring in. That's how they're looking at it right now.
So they're just looked at, property owners in the WUI are looked at as tax mules. That's all.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. It accomplishes two goals. One, it stops rural development. And two, it's a money generator so they can free up the general fund.
Okay. Well, I would advise then that we go out there and intentionally depopulate Portland and stop it from being able to develop and live too. All right. Turnabout's fair play. What do you say? Anyway,
there you go, Bill.
All right. Herman, we appreciate the take as always. Thanks for explaining the politics behind this. And it's going to take a massive protest movement on this. It's not going to be something where you can't just write a little email here and there. They're trying to, essentially the Democrats are trying to vote the area out of existence. Appreciate the call. And I wish it was a happier way to wrap it, but it's the truth. Okay. Thanks, Herman.
All right. Take care.
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger, 8 o'clock. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass, K290AF, Rogue River, and K294AS, Ashland.
The threat of wildfire.